Welcome to Parshas Shavua. This week is Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas, most years, is the first Shabbos of the 3 weeks. And I want to just point out something before we share some ideas on the Parsha specifically. It's just something about the Shabbosim in the 3 weeks, the period where we mourn for the Beis HaMikdash. And that is that specifically in the Beis HaMikdash, of course, the mourning for the Beis HaMikdash and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is all part of a journey to eventually result in a greatest geula of all times, the greatest redemption, the coming of Mashiach, and the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. And where this is more emphasized in the 3 weeks is the Shabbosim, because obviously during the week we emphasize the pain, but the Shabbosim we are taught in many Svarim are actually the time of the 3 weeks where the idea of Mashiach shines through, the purpose of the 3 weeks shines through, the purpose of the 3 weeks can be felt. Where is it reflected? So we see in Parshas Pinchas, we have the division of Eretz Yisrael, the whole drawing of the lots, and the whole description of how Eretz Yisrael was divided up amongst the 12 Shvatim, which of course is going to happen again when Mashiach comes. We also have a whole parsha, a famous parsha in Parshas Pinchas, about the korbanos, the extra sacrifices that were brought on Rosh Chodesh, on Yontif, and so on and so forth, the Musafim. And in Parshas Matos Masse also, in Parshas Matos Masse, we have the description of the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and of course in Parshas Devarim, it's all about the preparation for the Yidden to go into Eretz Yisrael. So all this is very much emphasized during the 3 weeks, and of course that's why the 3 weeks needs to be a time where we don't only mourn and feel the pain of the Churban, but we reflect on what the whole goal and purpose is, and we do what we can by adding in our learning of Torah, by adding in Tzedakah, and so on, and learning about the Beis HaMikdash to hasten and bring about the coming of Mashiach, the Geula, where these days will be turned to days of Simcha and Yontif. So getting back to the actual parasha, I wanted to share two short ideas. The first is on the very first pasuk, a famous concept, where the pasuk talks about Pinchas. Pinchas, of course, was an individual. He was Aaron's grandson, the son of Elazar HaKoyen, and he stood up and endangered his life when the Yidden fell into the trap of immorality with the daughters of Midian, and came to a point where there was a plague that Hashem had sent to the Jewish people. And then the leader of the tribe of Shimon took a princess from Midian and publicly was immoral and promiscuous with her. And Pinchas remembered that in such a case it is permissible to stand up and to eliminate them. And that's what he did. He killed them with a great risk to his own life. And he did it, and he did it for the right reason, and therefore Hashem rewarded him to become a Kohen. Now, although his father was a Kohen, but when Hashem made the Kohenim, he made Aaron and his sons, and all those children that will be born afterwards. But Pinchas was already born, and therefore he wasn't a Kohen. Therefore Hashem made him into a Kohen as a reward for doing what he did. But the way it's introduced, this is really the story at the end of last week's parasha, but it continues at the beginning of this week's parasha where we read about the reward. And the way it starts off is that it's the pasuk says, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKoyen. Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aharon HaKoyen. And normally when it introduces someone in the parasha, it doesn't say his father and grandfather's name, except for a few exceptions. Here's an exception. And the exception is that it says it was Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aharon HaKoyen. Why? So Rashi says, because the tribes started to degrade and make fun of Pinchas. And they said to him, did you see this person? He's Ben Puti. He's someone. Now Pinchas was also a descendant of Yisroi. And Yisroi in his original form was an idolater, a priest of idolatry, a pagan worship. And it says, you know, Ben Puti, who he was, Shepitem Avi Imoi, Pinchas' mother's father, Yisroi. He used to fatten up calves, agolim, for sacrificial purposes for pagan worship. He would stuff them and fatten them up. And that's who Pinchas' grandfather are. Now all of a sudden he comes and he's killing someone, a leader in the Jewish people, for doing something wrong. So what is all that? So what does the Torah say? The Torah says, no, it's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKoyen. He comes from Aharon. So there are many questions on this. First of all, the fact that he comes from Aaron doesn't take away from the fact that he comes from Yisroi. Second of all, so what that he comes from Yisroi? That doesn't mean he's not a tzaddik. And third of all, what do you mean he comes from Yisrael that used to serve fatten cows for idol worship? But Yisrael did tshuva and he became the amazing convert. So what's the issue with Pinchas? And also, if it wants to say that he came from someone that served idols, all it has to say is that he came from Yisrael who served idols. What's this concept that he came from Yisrael who fattened up calves? He fattened the calves for idol worship. What is that supposed to mean? But the issue is this following. What they were worried about, they weren't worried about his yichus in terms of idol worship and all that. They were worried about Pinchas stood up and actually killed someone in a zealous act. Now, sometimes when we do a mitzvah, it doesn't matter really what our intention is. Of course, it's always a good idea to do a mitzvah for the right intention, but if we do it for the wrong intention, you know, most times it doesn't matter as long as you do the mitzvah. We shouldn't hold ourselves back from doing a mitzvah just because we have ulterior motives. The mitzvah has to get done. We have to give tzedakah. We have to put on tefillin. We have to learn Torah even. And the Chazal tell us it's better to learn Torah shaloi lishma, even not for the right reason, because from the right reason you will come to the right reason eventually, and so on and so forth. But there's one area of halacha and for mitzvah fulfillment that one cannot do it unless it is absolutely for the right reason. And that is kanos, zealousness. To do what Pinchas did would have to be for the completely right reason, would have to be only to sanctify Hashem's name. If in any way he had a zealous nature or a cruel nature, whatever the case is, and he liked to sort of pick a fight, that would undermine the entire mitzvah, and in such a case it is better not to do it. Now, what the Shevatim was saying is as follows. The fact that Pinchas had a grandfather that served idols, that's not a problem. He did tshuva. That doesn't affect Pinchas. Pinchas could be a tzaddik. But he didn't just serve idols. Pinchas' grandfather did something somewhat cruel. He fattened calves for Avodah Zarah. Stuffing an animal, to fatten up an animal artificially just to give it, to shech them, to slaughter them for a sacrifice for pagan worship, is actually an act not only of pagan worship, but it's an act of insensitivity and slight cruelty. Now that could be a nature, that's not just an avera that a person does, but that could be a personality. So they're saying, look whose Pinchas is. Pinchas comes from Yisrael, who might have had cruel tendencies, insensitive tendencies. So maybe Pinchas hereditarily inherited those tendencies. And that's why he was okay to pick up a sword and to kill the leader of Shimon and Cosby Bastur, Zimri and Cosby. So maybe his whole thing isn't pure. It's because he has a bit of a hothead personality, an insensitive personality, a cruel personality. So comes along the Torah, because his grandfather fattened calves. He did something which had that sort of cruel tendency. Comes along the pasuk and says, you know who Pinchas is? Pinchas is the son of Elazar, the son of Aharon HaKohen. Aharon, we know, was a peace-loving person. Oyev Shalom v'roidev Shalom, as the Pirkei Avos tells us. Pinchas' character comes from Aharon, says the pasuk. He doesn't have a cruel bone in his body. He's completely sensitive. He's completely a loving soul. And yet, only for the sake of Hashem, he displayed zealousness and he killed Zimri and Cosby to sanctify Hashem's name. That's why his mitzvah was pure, his mesiras nefesh was pure, and he deserves a reward. And that's the pshat in the Rashi. I want to go to something else now in the parsha, where it talks about the division of Am Yisrael. Every portion, every tribe got a portion of the land of Israel. Every tribe was divided up into different families who each one got a portion. And suddenly we have the story of the five daughters of Tzlofchad who come to Moshe Rabbeinu out of their love for the land of Israel, and they say to him the following: our father has already passed away. He would have got a portion of the land of Israel. By the whole system of division, he would be the one of them to receive a portion, his family. However, he did not leave any sons, and the laws of inheritance, the way it was taught up to then, was that sons inherit and not daughters. And therefore, we will lose our portion in Eretz Yisrael, and it's not fair. We want to have a portion in Eretz Yisrael. And Chazal tell us, they did this not out of greed, they did this out of their love for Israel, and so on. Moshe Rabbeinu, for some reason, did not know the answer to the question. And by Yakrev es mishpoton lifnei Hashem, and he brought their shaila to Hashem himself. And of course, Hashem answered that when there's no sons, then daughters do inherit, and therefore they should receive a land, in a portion in the land of Israel. Now, when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu brought the shaila, this halachic question to Hashem, Rashi says, Nis'alma halacha mimenu. Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halacha. And this was a sort of a punishment that he took on a bit too much. He like kind of took on the mantle of knowing everything when he made the system of leaders in the time of Yisroel, when he put leaders of 1,000 and leaders of hundreds and leaders of 10 and so on and so forth. And then it says that he told the Jewish people that if you have a shaila, if you have a question, you'll bring it to these leaders. V'hadover asher yikshe mikem, and something that'll be too difficult for you, if it's a hard shaila, takrivun elai, you'll bring it to me. Kind of like with a bit of pride. So he says, the hard stuff, leave for me. And because he said that, Rashi says, because of that, when it came to Tzlavchad, he forgot the halacha. And he forgot the halacha, and therefore he had to take it to Hashem and re-ask the shaila. So the obvious question is as follows. Can we really think that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said that, was being slightly arrogant? After all, doesn't it say about Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yayish Moshe onov ma'oid mikola odom ha'shal p'neu adoma? Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person before every person. He was felt humble, he felt lower than every individual. So how would he say that? That, you know, leave the hard stuff for me, so to speak. And to be punished for that, in other words, that it should be deemed sort of arrogance, and therefore the halacha should disappear from him, that seems very strange for a person like Moshe Rabbeinu. So I saw in the Shvilei Pinchas, based on a word from the Baditcha V'Rav in the Kedushas Levi, explains the following. In the Pirka Avos it says, Moshe kibbel Torah misinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. Now what does that mean? If Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah at Sinai, it should say, Moshe kibbel Torah b'Sinai. Moshe received the Torah at Sinai. Why does it say Moshe got the Torah from Sinai? And Rabbi Dishva says the following, He says that we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu was at the burning bush and Hashem asked him to be the leader of the Jewish people, he argued with Hashem for 7 days, resisting the mantle of leadership. And then suddenly when Hashem says to him, you'll be the one to give the Torah, no resistance whatsoever. How come? Says the Baditch of a rather beautiful thing, and he says, because Moshe Rabbeinu observed that the Torah was going to be given at Sinai. So therefore Moshe kibbel Torah mi Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from the idea of Sinai. What's the idea of Sinai? The Gemara in Sota tells us that the idea of Sinai is that Hashem chose the lowest of all mountains, because a prerequisite to receiving the Torah and learning Torah is humility. So when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that, he says, yes, I'm going to agree to receive the Torah because there's no one as low as me. I am the most humble person. I feel humble before each person. Therefore, there's no question that the most worthy person to get the Torah is me. I am the lowest of all. I mean, yes, there's all kinds of questions. What Moshe Rabbeinu meant by that? Why did he feel lower than other people? After all, he was the greatest prophet. Okay, so he thought maybe if they would have his strengths, they would be even better than him. But bottom line is, he felt humble before each person. He felt lower, humble, in front of any individual. And therefore he says, if a prerequisite to Torah is humility, I am the man. I am the person to get the Torah. Which then, that's the word, very big. And that's why he didn't argue, he didn't resist. He said, yes, Torah should be revealed for me because I'm the lowest. Like Har Sinai is the lowest mountain. That's what Baditch Shavarov says. So he explains, and he says same thing. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said that I'm giving you different leaders and different judges and so on. But if you want really the hard stuff, Dover HaKosha, if something most difficult comes along and it's a new Shaila and it needs a revelation of Torah, and needs a deep revelation of Torah, I'm the man because I'm the most humble. Come to me because I'm the one who can facilitate the Torah because of my humility. So he didn't mean it in an arrogant way at all. He meant it in a very, very humble way. However, because we know that the Pirka Ovis says, Chachomim hizoharu b'divreichem. Chachomim, you should be very careful what you say. Because the Moshe Rabbeinu sentence could be interpreted as arrogance. He, chas v'shalom, did not mean it in an arrogant way. But because it could be interpreted as arrogance, that's why Hashem had to show he was slightly punished for it. And that's when it came to Bnei Slavchad, the halacha disappeared from him, in order to show what he really meant. Because then what he had to do is he had to bring it to Hashem. And Hashem spoke to him, and Hashem revealed the halacha through him. And this is all just to people should understand that he is a worthy person. He's not arrogant. He realized his mistake, and he said, "No, maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. And if I'm going to ask Hashem to reveal it through me, and Hashem did reveal it through him, and that's why eventually they had the answer coming from Hashem through Moshe Rabbeinu still. That's only because to clarify what actually Moshe Rabbeinu had meant, that it actually wasn't meant as arrogance, but it was meant as humility. Have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.